I want to talk to you this morning about the feather curtain. You've heard about other curtains, the iron curtain and so forth, but I want to talk to you about the feather curtain. I'll read it to you in Psalm 91. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. What a curtain that is. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Oh, boy. You know, beloved, Christianity is a person, not a theology, not a doctrine, not a philosophy, not a form of religion. It's a person, a lovely, wonderful man. He's God's salvation. You remember when Simeon came in and saw Jesus as a baby in the arms of the mother? He looked up and said, "Father, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was looking at a baby. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I love that. When he went to Zacchaeus' home, he said to Zacchaeus, "Salvation has come to this house," because he had come. Beloved, everything God has is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. This passage that you read together in Philippians is a wonderful one. It's a repetition almost from what Moses said back in the 33rd of Exodus. He said, "Lord, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Show me now thy way that I may know thee." He wanted to know God's way, and God's way is Christ. I am the way. Not a way, the way. I am. Not my religion is. Not my doctrine is. I am. It's so easy, beloved, to have a theology that's all right, absolutely all right, and miss the lovely person that it's about. So we read here in Philippians, "Be careful for nothing." And I'll say a word about that. You see, my tree has lots of branches on it. "Casting all your care," be careful for nothing, "casting all your care," yours, the kind you have this morning, "upon him, because he careth for you." I love that. He careth for you. He careth for you. So you cast. You know, you can only cast a little thing. You cast a ball or a stone or a book or some little things. You can't cast big things. And no, he's inviting you to cast the little things now, the annoying things in your life, whatever they are. Cast them over on him. But those things you can't cast are covered in the 37th Psalm. He says, "Roll thy burden on the Lord." You can roll things you can't cast. Heavy things, big things, you can roll them. So roll them over on the Lord and get rid of them. But there's some things you can neither cast nor roll. So he says in Psalm 81, verse 6, "I removed his shoulder from the burden." He leaves the load in your home or in your heart or in your life, but takes you out from under it, so you don't know it's there. Oh, I've seen that lots of times in my medical practice. I remember a man that came in my office to sell thread. He had a birthmark on his face that was terrible. It was so bad that the bottom of his left eye was above the top of his right eye. It just disfigured his whole face. And when he came in to see me, I had to buy some thread. I did buy it from him. It's when I had my tent factory. He said, "I suppose, Dr. Wilson, you're looking at this thing on my face." I said, "Yes, I am. Can't help it." He said, "Dr. Wilson, that's my asset." Did you hear me? That's what he said. "That's my asset, that ugly, horrible, terrible thing on his face." He saw I was surprised. He said, "That's my asset because I use that to win souls for Christ. I take the profits from my thread business to run a mission down on one of the streets in Boston." And he said, "I go before those fellows and I say, 'Fellows, that lovely, wonderful, precious Savior loves me with this thing on my face. And he wants me to come and live with him. He's going to take me to live with him because he loves me so. He says, I've seen men's eyes filled with tears when they saw he loved me with this thing. He turned a liability into an asset. You know, beloved, there are two kinds of peace. Remember Isaiah 26? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I'm talking to you Christians now. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. But the Revised Version reads it a little bit different. Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace whose imagination is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He repeats the word peace. Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace. Because there's a peace for the Christian and there's a peace available for the sinner. That's why. All those who are unsaved, I suppose, when they get saved, they get peace with God about their sins. But not all God's precious people get peace of God. That's what you have in this passage. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds, your heart where your feelings are, your mind where your thoughts are, in perfect peace. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. This evening I'm going to talk to you about the peace that God gives to the sinner. But this morning is peace for you, dear saints. And they have lots of trouble. My trouble God have, people have. And I've seen this effect. You see down in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, beloved, the Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings? He says it twice. And when I read that, I said, I'm going out and find out. So I went out to a farm to find out how she gathered her chickens together. And I would tell you, I came way from there a shouting Presbyterian or something or other, if there is such a thing. I was just amazed to see how that was actually duplicated in the life of our lovely Lord. How often would I have gathered thy children under this feather curtain, under her wings? And what I found out? Four times. When the babies were chicken, or baby chickens were hungry, and she found something to eat, she just called them so sweetly and so tenderly and so gently and so earnestly to come and get what she had. And he said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. So come, like the babies do. The second time, I don't know if you notice or not, but mother hen always feeds sideways. Her head's always on one side. You know why? She's looking for hawks with the other eye. One eye she's looking for bugs and the other eye she's looking for hawks. That's right. I watched him do it. And when she sees that black thing up there circling around, she knows that babies are in trouble, in for trouble. I was talking to a farmer one day. He said, I saw a hawk coming down, and a mother had a lot of babies, and she had so many they couldn't all get under her wings at the same time. And one was left out. I don't know if it was too far away or what, but it didn't get under the wings. I ran in the house to get my gun. When I came out, that hawk had come down and grabbed that baby that was outside, and away it went with the baby. And I remembered that verse. We have to be under his wings to be safe. And then the next time is when the storm is coming and the wind is blowing, the leaves are falling off the trees, and cold, and the dust is rising in the road. And she calls her babies to come out of the storm under her wings. And the fourth time is when it's time to go to bed. And she has such a plaintive, sweet little cry and calls the babies, come get under her wings again. And they get in and snuggle up for the night. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. That's when he calls us. Hunger for something, we don't know what it is. When I was a boy, I got in soul trouble and didn't know it. Didn't know what trouble was. I knew I had an empty place in my heart. And so I thought, I'll fix it up. Now, it's just the time that soda water came in. I thought, boy, that'd be the thing. So I went in the kitchen, and I got, folks had gone to bed, and I made up some soda water out of Baker Hammer brand soda. I poured the water in the glass and it foamed like I knew it ought to. But boy, when I drank it, The whole family came down to see what was the matter. I didn't know what was wrong. I had a hungry heart. I didn't know it. Then December 20th, 1896, I met that lovely Lord, the bread of life. And he gave me himself and gave me the water of life, the Holy Spirit. That empty place was filled up. You see, he wants us to have peace of God. That's about your daily life. Peace with God is about your sins. The peace of God is about your daily life. That's reading it says in that 26th of Isaiah, thou keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I wonder if we do. You know, there's a verse in the 37th Psalm that says, fret, and most Christians believe it. Am I right? It's a good thing to fret. It gets things done so much easier. What a mess. Thou keep him in perfect peace, whose imagination is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I was looking up the other day some one-word sentences in the Bible, and I was struck by that one that Jesus preached to Peter. Peter was walking on the water, and the men were in terrible trouble. They're all sailors. They're all used to the water. I've been across the Sea of Galilee, and I want to tell you it can have some waves, and very quick. And Peter saw them, the others, and they were all so frightened, afraid they were going to go down. They shouldn't have believed it. He said, let's go across. They didn't say go down. But they believed they were going to go down. They didn't believe him. And so Peter said, if it be thou, if you are Lord, if you are God, bid me come unto thee on the water. Ask me to do something that nobody else had ever done and couldn't be done, and see that I do it. And Jesus said one word. What was? Come. That's all. He believed God and had peace at once. He had a sinking spell, I know. And of course, when the water was up to his nose, he said, Lord, we thank thee for this beautiful day. I have to laugh sometimes at my own prayers and the prayers of others. No, he didn't waste time talking about the beautiful day. He said just three words, Lord, save me. That's what happens when you believe God. You cut out a lot of things to say, lecturing, and talk about ourselves. And then he gives peace. Now, sometimes I hear people saying, Lord, be with Dr. Wilson while he preaches. You don't need that. He said he'd never leave me. He said that. Let's remember, we don't believe him. Peace, the Lord fill you with all peace and joy through believing, not through doubting, not through questioning. And the Lord, blessed Lord, says here, he'll keep your heart, that's where your feelings are. You know, I can't understand it. I've been practicing medicine since 1904, and I've seen everything there is to see, I think, in medicine, including leprosy. But I never take blood pressure, but anybody's in love if I know it. You can get a crew report there. You're going heebie-jeebies, you know. And if you're hating somebody, oh, how the heart responds. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I've seen that in the sick room, too. I was with John Ringling. I used to build the tent for Ringling Brothers. And John and I were good friends. When his wife died, I tried to win him for the Savior, but he wasn't interested. But when his wife died, one of his assistants, a friend of mine, was standing beside him at the casket. And the grief was tremendous. He loved her very much. And his grief was terrible. But he didn't know this lovely Lord. I could understand that grief. But I saw a woman named Mrs. Wilson, not a relative of mine, whose husband was taken away suddenly with a heart attack. And she stood beside him And looking up with the joy of the Lord in her face, said, Lord Jesus, he belonged to you. You had a right to take him. I'm glad he's with you tonight. But now I expect you to take care of my children. She had 7 little kiddies. Then I'm old enough to work. I expect you to take care of me and take care of my babies. And I tell you, Lord Jesus, when I see you, I want to tell the angels that you kept your word with me and looked after my babies for me. She had the peace that passeth understanding. That's what he's talking about here. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. When my father-in-law's business burned up and burned down, went both ways, we were staying, it was a tent factory, and the fire was intense. So we stood about a block away from it. And when the thing went down in the sub-basement, I said, I had my arm around him. I said, Dad, you're busted. You're broke. He was an old-fashioned Englishman, didn't have any insurance. He didn't believe in insurance. He had $200,000 worth of merchandise in there, no insurance. And that precious man, he's a man of God, C.J. Baker. He put his arm around me and he said, Walter, you're mistaken. I gave that business to my father years ago. He burned up his own stuff. He didn't burn up anything belonging to me. The peace of God that passeth understanding. That's a miracle. I want you to know we have a lovely Lord, beloved. A wonderful Lord that loves you, cares for you, shall keep your heart and your mind. I won't ask you, but I wonder how many of you folks were afraid you'd go to the poorhouse someday. I won't ask you. I know you'd tell me the truth. We imagine things that never happen. In fact, all of us do. Whose imagination is stayed on the... Instead of imagining he's going to do something for us, we imagine he's going not going to do anything for us. We imagine he's going the opposite way. Whose imagination is stayed on me, because he trusteth in me. Listen, he wants you to trust him like a baby trusts the mother. The storm comes, that sweet little bunch of sweetness is so frightened. The thunder and the lightning, the storm and the wind. And the baby's in the crib over here. And pretty soon you hear the side of the rib rattle. And 2 little feet hit the floor. And then you hear him coming, running to you. Dad, can I get in bed with you? Mother, can I get in bed with you? You reach over and get that sweet little precious thing put in between you and mother. And the storm's quit. Inside, not outside. The limb of a tree scratching the side of the house, making a noise like ghosts make. But the sweet little thing doesn't care a thing about it. It's got you there. May I ask you, precious saints, does his presence give you peace? In the 23rd Psalm, David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's peace. George Jackson and I were on top of Mount Wilson one time. We climbed up to look at the telescopes. I have an interest in astronomy. And coming back down, we started down on the Rattlesnake Trail and got lost. And we were lost. It was in July and very, very hot, and we'd used up the water in our water bottle, and we were wanting a drink so badly. And so we came to a little cleared place, and we kneeled down and said, Father, 2 of your children are lost up here. Won't you send somebody to find us? In about 20 minutes, we heard a noise in the man's need of brush. And here came a government guide through. He had his badge on. We saw a government guide number 26. We could have kissed him, but we weren't used to kissing men. I said to him, will you show us the way out? No, he said, I won't. Oh, our heart sank. He said, I'll take you out. I had Mister, you taught me the meaning of John 14:6 right now. He didn't come to show us how to do it. He came to do it. All we have to do is have him. That's all. He's the way. One of our missionaries over in Africa wanted to go to another tribe, and he didn't know how to get there. And he asked the chief of his tribe if he knew anybody could show him the way, and they didn't have anybody there. But he said there'd be a man here tomorrow from that tribe. So he went up the next day to see this man, He said, this is the way, pointing to this visitor. No, he said, I want to know how to get there. Well, he's the way. The man's name was the way. He said, all you have to do, mister, be with me. I'll take it. I said, thank you. All you need is to have Christ. He's the way. Suppose you died tonight, would you know where to find God? Do you know where he is? Would you go up in one of the constellations? I wish I could talk to you for a week on the constellations in Zodiac. Oh, those 12 steps of the Lord Jesus in the Zodiac are simply marvelous. Well, would you go to Virgo or Leo or Sagittarius? Where would you go up there to find God? None of us here would ever find God. You couldn't find him. We have to have somebody to take us. Oh, isn't that lovely? He's been up there through the centuries. Never had a beginning. That lovely Lord. And he came down to take us there. Remember, he said he'd suffer the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, not send us to God. Bring us to God. I like that. You just trust him, that's all. He takes you. I was talking about the mind, wasn't I? You see, I have some notes here. I don't try to hide them. I know you know I've got them. I can't carry it all up here. I said to a teacher, when a man teaching physics, I said, still the wonder grew and grew how one little head had all he knew. But he didn't know Christ. By the way, let me tell you about that, fellow. When I was studying in high school, I studied physics. And this man was an atheist, and he hated God's people and hated the church. And when I'd come in, I started carrying my Bible when God saved me. And I'd come in with my Bible, and he'd say, hey, there comes Wilson. He believes that old Bible. Then he said to me one day, Wilson, how did God weigh the mountains in scales? How did he weigh Pike's Peak? I said, where does the Bible say he weighed mountains in scales? Well, he didn't know. So when I got home, I looked it up in my concordance and found it. Isaiah 40, verse 12. God weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance and measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. I'd like to talk to you about that too, but I haven't got time. And so he didn't know where it was, so I told him next day. I told him where it was. Well, he said, Wilson, how did God weigh the mountains in scales? I said, I don't know. And I can't find anybody that knows. Oh, I said, tidn't true. The next year I studied chemistry. My chemistry teacher, a fine godly man who died right in your section here somewhere, his name was Phillips. He said, you remember, young people, that chemical elements, there are 109 of them, are put together by weight and not by volume. What do you want, Walter? Can I have Professor Ayers come over here? Sure. So I went over to physics. Professor Ayers, you come over to chemistry? Sure. And when he came in, Philip said, what do you want me to tell you? Tell him what you just told us, that chemical elements are put together by weight, not by volume. Well, I said, God do with me. I said, that's the way we weighed Pike's Peak. Everything in Pike's Peak was put together by weight. That fellow never again made fun of the things of God. Never again. Knowledge brought peace. The mind. There's another way of getting peace. There's a peace of ignorance. And that's the reason God's people all don't have peace. It's the peace of ignorance. Don't know what that lovely Lord will do. I used to be the physician for Literno. I was a physician for his factory. And one day a man came in to get a job. Well, I had to examine him, of course. He was a big man, and big every way. I thought he could whip his weight in wildcats. He was a wonderful fellow. But I had examined him, and I did. And when I put my stethoscope on his heart, I said, mister, you can't work here. Don't you ever work anywhere that you have to lift anything. You will tumble over dead. He had a paralysis of the ganglion of His in the center of the heart, so that the valves were not working against each other. I said, go home, boy. Get a job sitting at a desk. You may be safe for quite a while. You should have seen the face of that fellow. He said, what'll I tell my wife when I go home? He didn't know he had it. He thought he could whip anybody. Peace of ignorance. It's easy to have that too. Listen, precious folks. If he loved you enough to die for you, as these precious men were singing so beautifully, isn't he going to take care of you? If he saved you when you were as bad as you could possibly be because you were dead in sins and lost and guilty, not a good thing in us from head to foot, Is he going to kick you out? Doesn't he love you enough to take care of you? Isn't he going to have you home with him? But we don't believe him. The peace of God for the Christian is believing what he says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee. Now I leave my wife frequently. In fact, every day I leave her. I never forsake her yet. Never will either. I have to leave her every day. He said, I won't even leave you. Not a minute. But we don't believe him. He made the body. And say, I wish I could tell you some things about the body that make you jump up and down for joy. That's my hobby, one of them. He made the body, and the man that made it is best able to take care of it. And if he wants you to be blind, hallelujah. And that brings me to our next point for the Christian, the peace of God. Being willing to be defeated. Being willing to be defeated. Willing for God to say no. Did you hear me? We don't. You know, you catch a cat by the tail, and the thing hurts the cat as long as the cat pulls. You don't have to pull it. The cat does the pulling. You turn loose of it, and the cat's got peace. You do that too. That's right. Quit resisting the Lord. I want my way. I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Listen, beloved. Be perfectly willing for him to say no to you. And when he says no, it's the best thing. He does it because he loves us. He's more interested in making us what he wants us to be than he is in giving us what we'd like to have. Now, put that down in your notebook. He's making us, molding us for eternity. And we ought to thank God for it. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to or expected them to. He said no. That's because he loves us. I hope I'm helping you to see that. I can't tell you what a blessing that brought to me years ago. But I said no to all my children. Said good many times. I tell you, class downstairs, I have some chocolate-colored strychnine tablets in my case, and all my children wanted it, that chocolate candy. And I wouldn't give it to them, and they'd go out and complain to Mother that Dad was so stingy he wouldn't give us that chocolate candy. I didn't dare to give it to him. A girl that worked for me in my factory came down and said, Dr. Wilson, I wish you'd pray that God would give me a husband, the right kind of one. I said, I'll be glad to join with you. And I did join with her. One day she came down and said, I found the man. And I said, did you? Send him in, I want to smell him. I'm telling you. So he came in. I saw he didn't want a wife. He didn't want a sweetheart. He wanted a woman with skirts. That's all he wanted. I talked to him about 10 minutes and dismissed him. I saw he was a fraud. I sent for Mabel to come down. I said, Mabel, don't marry that fellow. Oh, Dr. Wilson, he reads the Bible with me. I said, does he read it when you're not there? No. He goes to church with me. Does he go when you're not there? No. I said, you stay away from him. Oh, you don't know him. I know, and I don't want him. You stay away from him. But she thought she got the cream of the crop. You know, getting married in orange blossoms don't mean you didn't get a lemon. And it works both ways. Do you know that 2 weeks after they were married, she called up my wife and said, can I come out? I'm sitting out on the street on my suitcase. I couldn't stand that devil. She didn't believe what I told her. Listen, the devil's going to tell you the Lord's going to forsake you. And he's a liar, absolute liar. I remember a precious old, I had a patient 97 years old. She was saved when she was 12. She'd been a Christian 85 years. And she told me some of her experiences that were most interesting, wonderfully interesting. But she said, this is one of the things. Dr. Wilson, you believe God. He tells you the truth. I proved it for many, many years. And the only regret I have, I didn't believe him more and earlier than spending more of my time for him. I've wasted most of my life. I never knew my Bible. I never won a soul for Christ. I never learned how to teach the word to others. I never learned anything. I sang in the choir and was nice and sweet and nice, but I didn't know anything about God. Don't you waste your life like that. A few days after that, they called me to call. She was dying. So I went out, and she had her hands up. And I said, "Did you want a drink, grandmother?"
"No."
"Did you want some medicine?"
"No."
"What'd you want?" I said, "Doctor, I can see Jesus coming for me. Oh, I'll be so glad to see him. Why didn't he come a long time ago for me? I'm so glad. I'm going to see him tonight." Her hands dropped and she's gone. She was abiding under the shadow of the Almighty then. Under his wings. He's calling each of us saints to have a life of peace. You remember Jesus said in the 14th of John, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." My peace. The peace he had when he stood before Pilate and Herod and heard himself condemned to death. The peace he had that morning when he left Bethany and they gave him no breakfast. I tell you, I pretty near cried when I read that. He'd been out to Bethany and spent the night, and the next morning he let him go without any breakfast. And he saw a fig tree. And he wanted to get some figs, something to eat, and he went there and found nothing but leaves. But he didn't say a word about it. He knew that Judas was stealing out of the bag from him. He didn't say a word about it. He knew that Peter was going to curse him. That deny with those and curses that they ever knew Jesus. He knew that. He didn't say a word about it. Precious one, peace I leave with you. My peace, the kind I have, I give unto you. Did you ever get it? Did you ever take it? Suppose you go home, dear Dr. Preble, who taught me diagnosis in Northwestern University Medical College, got a telephone call once. I talked to that dear man, a lovely, lovely man, a fine diagnostician, but he wasn't interested in Christ. He got a telephone call, his house was on fire. He hurried home as fast as he could get there, and his dear wife and his grown daughter were burned to death in that building. He knew they were in there. He closed his office that night, never went back to it. Started traveling, trying to get the thing out of his mind. The last time I heard him, he was still just traveling around from city to city, and country to country, trying to get that thing settled in his mind. He didn't know that lovely Lord. I wish he did. How much could you stand, beloved? Suppose you go today to a doctor and he says you're losing your eyesight. In 3 months, you'll be blind. Would you go home singing? I had a friend in Adrian, Missouri, about 75 miles from Kansas City, and I heard she'd lost her eyesight. She was 72 years old. So I drove down to see her, just to take her a word of comfort. And she came out of the kitchen, and she had a bandage over her eyes, and felt along the side wall until she got to the front door and said, "Who is it?" I said, "It's Walter from Kansas City." "Oh," said sweetheart, she was 72. "Sweetheart, come on in." So I went in. I said, "I came to bring you a word of comfort, beloved." She said, "Save your breath to cool your coffee. I'm the happiest woman you ever saw." I'll tell you why, Walter. People are reading the Bible to me now. And I'm seeing things about my lovely Lord I never thought I'd see until I went to heaven. I'm just living in heaven all the time. The things they read to me out of the Bible are just so precious and so thrilling and so beautiful. I wouldn't have my eyesight. I've seen everything there is to see in 72 years. Nothing else to see. And he wanted me to see things over there. And am I seeing them? Peace that passeth understanding. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. It takes two to make a gift. The one that gives and the one that takes. A man came in my office one day and laid down a quit claim deed to an apartment house of six for six families. Three on each side of the center aisle. Stairway. Six families. A quit claim deed. Said, "Wilson, I want you to have this. It's yours." I said, "Is there a plaster on it?" This is in when the panic was on. Some of you old timers remember? I lost everything I had in the panic except one wife and eight children. "Yes," said, $25,000. I'd take it back. "I don't want it." You couldn't buy money on a gold brick those days. Some of you old folks remember? You couldn't get a loan on anything. I just give it back to him. It takes two to make a gift. The one who takes it, the one who gives it. Peace I leave with you. My peace, my peace, my peace. I give unto you. One time when I was riding into Detroit on train in Pullman car, the conductor came along and I held up my ticket. It was a pasteboard ticket. He turned over to see if it was stamped all right and put it in his pocket. And I pulled his coattail. I thought he might be a prospect for heaven. So I pulled his coattail. He said, "What do you want?" I said, "I'm mad at you." "What are you mad about?" Then he didn't wait for an answer. He went on. When he got through checking in the train, he came back and said, "What are you mad about?" I said, "Because you didn't pay any attention to me. You didn't care anything about my color, whether I was young or old, whether I was sick or well, whether I was wealthy or sick, whatever. You didn't care anything about me. You ignored me, and I want some attention paid to me. You know you have to be a fool for Christ's sake sometimes." "Well," he said, "you expect me to go through the train and take the genealogy of everybody on it?" I said, "No. But I want some attention paid to me." He said, "You're pulling my leg." I said, "I am. I want to pull it clear off." He said, "Tell me now what you're getting at. I'm going into Detroit the same way I'm going to heaven. God looks down on me. He don't care anything about what kind of a life I've lived or what I am. He sees I need a ticket to heaven. And I have it, mister. It's punched. Punched with the nails of Calvary. And God looks down to see if I have that." And I said, "I do." December 20th, 1896, I got that ticket. I trusted my soul and my life and my heart that lovely man who was punched for me. That's the reason I'm going. That's all the stand down beside me and say, "Hey, mister, for 3 years I've been trying to find out how to get peace with God. This is the first word I've heard that told me anything. Tell me more about it." So I told him more about the Lord Jesus, and that dear conductor trusted the Savior. We went into Detroit with a saved conductor. The peace that passes understanding when you know the debt is paid. You've sung it, haven't you? Jesus paid it all. Haven't you ever sung that? Anybody here ever sing that? I see three people did. In the research hospital one day, the nurse came. I just have 3 minutes left. The nurse came and said, "I wish I had the peace you have, Dr. Wilson." I said, "Nellie, you can have it. You trust the Prince of Peace. In the Old Testament, he's the Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, he's the King of Peace. In Hebrews, he's the King of Peace. Back in Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. That's because in the old days, he was on his way to the throne. In the New Testament, he's on the throne." I said, "Did you ever sing that song, Jesus Paid It All?" "I've sung it many a time." "Listen, did he pay it all? Or didn't he? Come on. Did he pay it all or didn't he?" I wish you'd see that girl. She got up off that chair where she was sitting and looking up, the tears running down her cheeks, said, "Lord Jesus, I've sung that about you all my life. I never believed it till this minute. I never knew till this minute you really did it." And she got the peace that passes understanding. The next day when I went up to see a patient, she was in the sick room, in the diet room, and I called her and I said, "Say, sister, did Jesus pay it all or didn't he?" And she came running. She set down the tray and ran all the way over to the window. Put her hand out and said, "Dr. Wilson, I never dreamed I could have the peace I have now. I met Jesus Christ yesterday." You do that with Christians. No matter what the disease is. I'll just tell you one more case. A woman came to me to see if she had a cancer or not. Now, I always tell my patients if they have a cancer. I tell them. I don't hide it from them at all. Because they've got to fix things up. Give them a chance. They maybe they have a deal on, maybe or the house is in with somebody else. You got to fix things up. Give them a chance. I tell them right off. Every one of my patients. Well, she came in, I examined her and found she had one, a very bad one. I said, "You may live a month. You may live 6 weeks. I'm not sure. You're not going to live very long." I helped her down off the table, onto a chair, and the tears started on her cheeks. And I saw her looking up, and said, "Lord Jesus, I love you for letting me have this cancer. I thought I was going to be a real old woman and be in a wheelchair and somebody take care of me. And now I'm going to come and see you in a few weeks. Oh, you lovely Savior. I'm so glad you let me have it so I could come so soon to see you." And she went out of my office singing. She believed him. Let me ask you, do you believe God? about your case, whatever it may be. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Take it. Shall we pray? Blessed, lovely Lord, we love thee. We haven't seen thee. Remember thy servant said, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of souls. Blessed Savior, we haven't seen thee. We don't know what thou dost look like. We know thy face was marred more than any man's. But we thank thee, thou hast loved us. In spite of our sinfulness and wickedness, thou hast loved us. We love thee for it. We thank thee for the joy and privilege of talking about thee and reading about thee, and for the presence of the Holy Spirit to tell us more about thyself. Grant that this day, those who have had their burdens will be removed from the burdens and have the peace that passeth understanding, for Jesus' glory. Amen.